Thank you, Pastor Loy. Thank you, worship team. Just before I get into what I feel God's laid on my heart for this evening, I just feel that the Father would say to you that what you sow, you will reap.
Yeah.
To those who are given much, much is expected. And we have to recognize that we are custodians of what God has placed into our hands. Ultimately, we give account of that which he has presented to us and entrusted to us. It is our readiness and our willingness to recognize and understand that we have the means to be the instrument of the blessing that God wants to release as we ourselves come to that place. We accept and acknowledge his call upon our lives and the instructions and directions that he speaks to us. To be people who are ready and willing to do whatever it is in order that his purposes and his plans might be fulfilled. To recognize he is the one whose kingdom is increasing. He is the one whose power is revealed. He is the one whose love expands as we ourselves submit to his authority, to his purposes and his plans. Therefore, sow generously, because you will reap abundantly. As I go clearing the garden at this time of the year, every now and then, because I love plants in pots, which is all well and good, except if I end up forgetting where I've put one of the pots. Because sometimes I put the pots in a place where I think, oh, that'll really look good there. But what happens is over a period of time, other things grow around it to the point where I no longer can see it. Out of sight is out of mind. And the result of that is that that particular plant in that particular pot does not then get the care that it needs in order that it might thrive and grow. And so at this time of the year, I suddenly discover that there are certain plants that are looking very shriveled. Others that are at the point of dying altogether. And I need to take whatever action I can take in order that I might see restoration come. I never give up on a plant. I always have a hope that whilst there's life, there's hope. And so there have been times over the years where I've seen restoration come, where I've made sure that a plant I had somehow allowed to get hidden away comes into the forefront and is seen. And sometimes some of those plants, they have just blossomed and they've just expanded and have flourished as they've come into a more open place, in a lighter place. I want to talk about a man whose life has something which was withered. I want to say to you that the ploy of the enemy is in order that you might come into a place where spiritually you wither and ultimately die. The ploy of the enemy is in order to get you to the point where the gifts that God has given to you will wither and ultimately die. The ploy of the enemy is that you will not reach your full potential, you will not flourish, you will not grow, you will not expand. That not only applies to us as individuals, but it applies to us as a church as well. And to recognize that if that is the ploy of the enemy, that is not the heart of God. For God's heart is one of expansion and growth and blessing and fruitfulness. John 15 tells us that what Jesus said to his disciples, he said, look, I am the vine, you're the branches. I want you to be fruitful, even more fruitful than you could imagine. And so we have a story that we find in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew, it's found in Mark, and it's found in Luke. And I just want to read it from Mark's Gospel. And this is what he says, and can I say that here is a church which would cause damage and hurt. And we need to take account of what we read in these verses and the response from Jesus himself. says here, Jesus went into the synagogue again, as church, and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Who were his enemies on this occasion? The church leadership. I'm not suggesting church leadership here in any way are the enemies. What I'm saying is that here were the religious authorities who were against the principles of what Jesus wanted to do. Because it goes on to say, if he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and he asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it? They wouldn't answer him. Notice, he looked around at them angrily. God does get angry. God does get angry. When he sees the attitudes and when he sees the response from those who should be in a place where they are caring and loving and longing to see people like this individual come into a place of wholeness. What Jesus goes on to do is say this. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. See, religion will always want to kill the spirit of life. Religion will always want to destroy the relationship with Jesus. Religion will always cause us to find that out of religion there is no hope, there is no love, there is no compassion. But I want to note one or two things that I hope will be helpful to you as we look at this story. And the first thing I want to say this, as we look at this man whose life was impacted by this impairment, one of the things that we discover is, I mean, we don't know his name. There is so little that we are told about him other than he was in church and he had a problem. I'm so glad that God is interested in people who have a problem and the church is not the place that they are excluded from. For this man, my question is, how often had he been coming to church? How long had he had this problem? How much it had presented a difficulty to him in his life. We're not told of his age. We're not told of whether he was a regular churchgoer or whether he was not a regular churchgoer. None of that information is given to us. All we are told is on this occasion, here is a man with a need who comes to church. And when he comes to church on this occasion, he comes to a church where the presence of God is. He comes to a church where the power of God is able to be manifested. And I want to say that the heart of God for everyone is to know that when they come into church, they come into the place where the presence of God is. As we've been singing about the presence of God, the song that came to my mind was, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and to heal and minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is present in this place." So here is a man who comes to church, and whether it was a one-off or whether it was something he regularly did, we do not know. But all I know is that we are told he's in the place where the presence of Jesus is. It appears he comes with no expectation either. He didn't come thinking this is the day of encounter. He didn't come thinking this is the day of healing. He didn't come with any expectation that he would be transformed. I'm so glad that when we come into the presence of God, that there in the presence of God, we come into the place where the power of God can transform and change us, even though we're not expecting it. Where we can have an encounter with him, even though we don't realize that that's what he's going to do. See, God has a program for your life. God has a program for my life. God has a program for this church fellowship. And sometimes we don't necessarily understand what his program is, but we suddenly discover in that amazing way, he breaks in and does something that is way beyond our expectations. I'm so glad that God doesn't wait for me to expect him to move before he does move. He doesn't expect me to come and necessarily present to him what I need, because he knows what I have need of. And so here is this man in the presence of Jesus. But here is this man, not only in the presence of Jesus, who's filled with compassion for him, but here is this man in the presence of a company of people who were totally prejudiced against him. And prejudiced against Jesus. Here is a group of leaders, believe it or not, who did not want anyone to experience the power of God. Who did not want anyone to encounter God. Did not want anyone to know the healing of God. Didn't want to know anyone to know the forgiveness of God. For them, their mindset was, we have certain rituals and we have certain rules and we have certain ways of doing things, and we have an expectation that you fit in with our schedule, our ways and our rules. Let me say to you, church, God breaks out from that. And if you have a certain idea or a certain viewpoint or certain ways in which you limit God, I'm afraid that you'll suddenly discover God will do the unexpected. Amen. And so Jesus knows about this. Jesus knows about their hearts. He knows about their attitudes. I recognize he knows about my heart and my attitudes at times. See, those times when I've come with that wrong approach, wrong attitude, wrong thought. But equally, because he's present, he's then able to begin to start to work in spite of my attitude, my approach, or my resistance. You see, the fact remains that here, where the presence of Jesus is, there's the provision of his amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The grace of God is to give us his blessing and his favour, even though we don't deserve it. He wants his grace to be poured out upon our lives individually, upon this fellowship corporately, upon the East London Hub collectively. He wants the grace of God to flow in amazing ways, in order that the demonstration of that grace revealed through his power and his works will speak to a world that needs to see that there is a God of compassion and there is a God of hope. And there is a God of life. And so what he does, and I suspect for this man, this was a real challenge. He says, excuse me, I want you out the front. I want you standing here by me. I wonder how you would feel. I wonder how you'd feel if I suddenly said, right, let me pick someone and say their name and then say, right, I want you out here, please. I wonder how you respond to that. Some of you would want to kill me. Some of you would want to run out the church. Some of you would want to pretend that you couldn't hear. Some of you would look around and say, he must be speaking to somebody else. He can't be speaking to me. But the fact remains that Jesus directly calls this man with this impairment, this man with this limitation, this man who, for whatever reason, had turned up at church on this occasion into the presence of Jesus, he calls him into the front of the church. Now, at that point in time, the man had the right to say, not on your life. If you think I'm coming out there, you've got another thing coming. I'm so glad that even though, you see, he didn't know why Jesus was calling him out. Can I say, sometimes Jesus will give you something that you are to do, and you will not know why you have been asked to do it. You will not discover the reason behind the action he's asked you to take until you have taken the action and positioned yourself in the place where he is able then to work in your life to demonstrate his power and his glory. And if you resist the willingness to take the step that moves you into that position where he is able to touch your life, you will discover that you may well miss out the opportunity of what could have happened and the transformation that could have come because of the fact that you refused to be obedient to his word. See, if I was that man, I probably would have felt very embarrassed. If I was that man, I would have thought, I don't really want to do this. If I was that man, I might have been thinking, why pick on me? If I was that man, I could have thought of 1,000 reasons why I would not want to respond to that command that came from Jesus, which was, come out here. I sense for some of you, there's a command that you have received and you're resisting. And I want you to know that you will not see the fulfillment of your hopes and your dreams and the answers to the prayers that you are bringing before God until you take the step that moves you into the position that will release the provision of God and the power of God into your life, into your family, into your circumstances, which will bring about transformation.
Yeah.
Because when the man came out to the front, it was in preparation for what was about to come. But then having arrived there, and the challenge of Jesus to the religious elite of that day is, right, okay, what should I do now? Should I bless this man? Should I heal this man? Should I touch this man? Should I let the grace of God come upon this man? As he challenged them, and they just sat there and felt more and more angry, felt more and more consumed by what they'd like to do with Jesus. He then turns to the man. He says, right, I want you to stretch out your hand. If you had a deformity, would you want to display it in public? If you had an issue in your life, would you want to bring it into the forefront of everybody's attention? I would suggest to you that you would not want to do that. I suspect that this man with the withered hand, he had spent all his life hiding that deformity, hiding that weakness, hiding that part of his life, that part of his life that said he was less than whole, that part of his life that said he was not complete, that part of his life that he in some ways felt shame over. When he stood possibly out at the front, the withered part of his life, he possibly might have put behind his back and hoped that no one would notice. But Jesus puts his finger on the very thing that this man is trying to hide and says, I want you to bring this into display. I want you to know that some of you have areas in your life which you try to hide. Areas in your life which you don't want to display. Areas in your life that you feel shame over. Areas in your life that you feel in some ways limit you or restrict you or cause you to be less than you could be. But I want you to know that Father wants to take hold of that very area that you are hiding so that he might bring his power to bear into that area to display his glory. Because the man, as he heard the call, stretch out your hand, he was again faced with this choice. Do I reveal truly who I am? Do I really, at this point, show where my struggles are, where my hurt is, where my pain is, where that shriveled part of my life is? Do I really allow that to come out into the open? And everything about him would have said, no, keep it hidden. Some of you need to know that there are things that the enemy wants you to keep hidden because God wants to take hold of them and transform them to bring honor and glory to his name. And whilst they stay hidden, then he's unable to bring his presence to bear and his power to be released. And so the man made the decision. I will stretch out the shriveled, withered area of my life. I will stretch out this area that I do not want people to see. I will stretch out this area where I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that God has spoken to me and God has asked me to do this. And so therefore I, in faith, I'm going to take the step and say, okay, God, I'll do my part. What are you going to do? And notice what it says. As he stretched out his hand, restoration flowed. In other words, there was the visible evidence of the miraculous power of God as that withered hand, in sight of everyone, suddenly began to develop and grow and start to take on the correct shape and began to come to that position where no longer was it shriveled. No longer was it limited. No longer was it restricted. Now it was as whole as his other hand. I'm so glad that God takes hold of the withered areas of my life. And he brings his power to bear into them. And releases them in such a way that it brings honor and glory to him. I'm so grateful that when God looks at me, he doesn't see someone who's incomplete. He sees someone who is whole. And let me say to you, there are limitations still in my life I'm aware of. And God is still at work doing things in me to bring me into a place of wholeness and blessing. But I'm so grateful he's willing to do that. And for each and every one of you, that is the heart of God for you. He wants your withered areas to be restored. If your spiritual life is shriveling, he wants to expand it and develop it and complete it and bring it into a place where there is fullness and where there is flow and where there is blessing. If there's gifts in your life that have been shriveled and are dying because of whatever reason may have happened that has happened in the past that caused you to feel the pain and the hurt and you've withdrawn from being involved in doing what God has called you to do, he is in the business of bringing you into that place where his power can flow and restoration can come and healing can be experienced and where suddenly you become the visible revelation of the glory and the power and the grace of God. So that those around see and are aware of his preeminence and of his glory. And as a church, there is so much that he wants to do, so much he wants to accomplish, and we can somehow get ourselves into the mindset where we feel that we're shriveling and shrinking and withering. But can I say, even if we are, and I don't think we are, but even if we are, that's the place where the presence of God can do something significant. That is the place where the power of God can be displayed. That is the place where restoration can come. And as Andrew was sharing about that lady yesterday, obviously I was aware of what I was going to be saying. There was someone whose life was shriveled because of an experience she had in a church, but there was someone who God was concerned enough with that he brought her or him into this place in order the word could be spoken into their lives to give them the opportunity to be able to come and take action and say, my life has been hurt, I have felt shriveled as a result of being in a church, but I want to now take the step necessary in order I might come into a place of wholeness and completeness and newness and freshness and revelation. I don't know what happened to the man after this. We aren't told. But what I do know is this. The personal impact on his life meant he would never be the same again. And every time he came to a point where he looked at what had been shriveled, he would see the evidence of God's goodness. Every time he looked at that which had limited him, he would see God's goodness. Every time he came to a place where he doubted, maybe, is God really real? Is God really at work? He could see the evidence of that in the way in which God had worked in the shriveled, withered air of his life to bring about a revelation of the power and the glory and the restoration that comes from a Father who longs for you and for me to know wholeness in every area of our lives. May we be willing to stretch out those areas which he calls us to stretch out in the faith and expectation, even though we don't know what he's going to do, that as a result of that, his power will flow, his glory will be manifested, and the world will see that we have a good, good Father.
Amen.
God bless you.